My men are almost here. Hold the enemy off a little longer.
Hello, everyone. It burns when I pee. Extra Life Radio.
I told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Hey, everybody. This is Extra Life Radio. This is Scott Johnson, your host. And here we are, another show, another good time to be had by all. It is show number 56, the Extra Life Radio program. And boy, things have just been great. We are nearing 5,000, or excuse me, we are now over 5,000 subscribers right now. I don't believe that even includes any direct downloads. So way to go, everyone. Way to point your podcatching clients toward us. I also want to mention that on the Yahoo Podcast Directory, the show is currently enjoying position number 11 in highest rated podcast, which is kind of nice. There's no reason why we couldn't be rated in the top three, so get your butts over to podcast.yahoo.com and search for Extra Life and vote. Get a review in there, too, if you want. We have over 40 reviews, I think, now from people all saying very nice things, so just want to thank all of you fans who have done that. And quickly, to get out of the way, that we want to thank mindonthenet.com for hosting the Extra Life radio show and website. I appreciate all that they do, and it's all good times. Also, if you guys haven't checked it out yet, you might want to. 180 people have. We have a map that's tied to Google Maps. It lets basically all the fans of the show, not just the show, the fans of anything Extra Life related, to go on there and put their name, put their picture, and their location. And then you get a nice Google map where everyone's located. So you can check that out at myextralife.com. On the right navigation side of the page, you'll see fan map, I believe, or something to that effect. Anyway, quickly, I want to mention that one last bit of business. We are looking for businesses or groups or individuals or whatever the crap you want to call yourself. That are interested in giving us some free stuff that we can give away to our listeners. We want to have some contests. So these things might be cheap MP3 players, or they might be T-shirts, or they might be baseball hats, or whatever they are. If you're interested, drop me a line, myextralife@gmail.com, and we'll get right on it, because I think that would be good times for everyone. Let me introduce who we have with us today. Before I introduce our very special guest, let's go through the regulars. Starting with me here in the studio today is Mark. Mark, how are things?
As long as I'm not hacking up a lung, I'm okay.
Yeah, if you heard any coughing, that was Mark.
And you will hear it plenty of times tonight.
That is correct. We're very excited about Mark's cough. It's both hacking and hilarious. So that was that.
That was really bad.
Let's see. About his cough? See, dude, I have to bleep you already?
That's what I understood.
No, he couldn't hear what you said.
I'm going to have to bleep him already. I can't believe it.
We're on the air? Oh, sorry.
That is the voice of Obsidian, who is currently sitting.
Hello,
he's sitting in a closet in Texas with a friend of his named David, and David is so kindly allowed Obsidian to use whatever connection he has and computer and whatnot to get on this Skype call. So, Obsidian and David, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah, Texas does this to you.
That was entirely underwhelming.
Yeah.
That was very underwhelming. Just kidding.
Everybody here in Texas is so mature.
Yeah, it's the big heart, or it's the big maturity state, isn't it? Isn't that what they say?
Yes, everything is bigger here. And all the nude pictures of O will be on the website.
Sweet. Sweet. Send us links.
Is he still in that closet, Obsidian?
Oh, no, he came out of the closet last night.
Oh, okay.
He's physically recording in a closet. We also have with us Brian from sunny South Carolina. Brian, how are you?
Doing good.
How are things? Are everything going well for you?
Oh, not too bad.
Good. You had a high hand in making this technically happen for us tonight. And despite a little bit of feedback we're getting and kind of some weird buzzy noises and things, I think generally having seven people in a program that was only intended for five is actually quite a technical feat. So nice work there.
Yes.
Yes.
I like it.
Everyone goes silent.
Are we supposed to be proud of him?
And we're out. And then let's see. We have Andrew from Florida.
Hello.
Of all places. No, I'm just kidding. Good to have you back, Andrew, as always. Your weekly appearance. is really warming my heart as I sit here. And also, this
why
is
why do the lies have to start so early in the podcast?
This is what I'm most excited about. We have with us a very special guest.
Wait. We're not exciting?
No, you're just a little bit less exciting than our guest. We want yeah, everything's bigger there, including the lies.
It's the Obsidian Roadshow.
We want to thank... Hey, did you have to swim over a river, Obsidian, to get there? Or did you get there to some traditional one?
No, I took a raft.
Okay. there were 50 of you. You got lost in the shuffle. It's all good.
Oh.
No, he's got all the papers. He's okay. But the creator of a great webcomic, not really webcomic, just comic in general, but it also appears on the web, is Myth Tickle. The creator is Justin Thompson, and he's here with us today. Justin, how are things?
Things are fine.
Good.
Scott, right?
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Hi. Things are great.
Good. I am thrilled.
Is he allowed to say fine? Do you have to bleep him?
No. He's okay to say fine. But I'm thrilled to have him here, not for just because he's another great webcomic artist, but because he... Listen to this. Let me just tell you quickly about what some of the stuff he does, and we're going to talk about it quite a bit here in the next, foreseeable 20 minutes or so. You work... Your day job is apparently with the Charles Schulz Museum.
I work at the studio, actually. I do some work over at the museum a couple of times a month. I go over and teach a cartooning class over there.
Oh, man. That's rocking.
They have guests come in sometimes, like classes of kids, and we teach them a brief little overview of cartooning. I teach them how to draw some faces and stuff.
We're going to ditch Scott and have... Justin do the show.
No kidding. This is awesome.
So Scott has been growing pretty lame, you know, as time progresses.
That's true. I'm like old cheese. I start to stink. But anyway, that's awesome. That sounds totally cool. We're going to ask you more about that as well. But also, you're a medieval jouster.
Yeah, I used to do that. I retired.
Oh, you quit doing it.
Yeah, I took a lance in the middle of my chest one day, and I just said, okay, that's enough.
Oh, yeah, a lance right in the chest will do that to you every time.
Tired of killing people, Justin?
What?
You got tired of killing people, decided that it was enough bloodshed?
We never really killed people for real.
Can I ask you something?
Left to the NOW organization now, right?
Yeah. Andrew, you're going to ask something?
Yeah, Justin, you were a jouster. I got a question. How did you get on the back of those flying ostriches?
Yeah, I knew he was going to do it.
Oh, yes, the old video game. Yeah. Always a big disappointment for me.
Well, I do have an actual question, you know, not a stupid one. Okay, now what? You are a jouster, right?
Yeah, I used to do that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And your name is Justin, right?
Right.
So, I mean, did they ever, Justin Justin, you know, that really...
Justin Justin? That's lovely.
That took a long time to get to a bad
joke. That has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, that was a very... He was right. That's a very serious question. I'm very impressed with the serious
question.
Yeah,
you rag on my question.
Well, let me ask you a question about that. When you were doing that, was it for... I mean, who was it for? Who was the crowd? Was this for big exhibition kind of stuff?
Come on, Scott.
It was at a Renaissance Festival in New York Renaissance Fair near Tuxedo, New York.
Yeah.
It was about an hour north of Manhattan, and I worked there for about 10 years, mm-hmm. Playing various knights and characters during the day as an actor, and then do two jousts during the day.
So did you... Wow. Was it performed on horses?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's way, way cool. So
it was awesome. It was just the best time. I really miss it, you know. But after 10 years, I was kind of maybe thinking of stopping, you know. And then it got hit in the chest, and that was pretty gnarly. And I'm like, okay, that's enough of that.
No.
After 10 years, it's not like I'm going to get any better. You know, and I'm not, you know, it's like, why am I, let's move on, you know,
yeah.
As I'm laying in the back of the ambulance on the way to the hospital. Okay, I think I'll move on now.
Yeah.
See, I would have stopped jousting right after that pterodactyl attacked me.
Okay. Yeah,
I got a question for Justin. What?
I got a question for you, Justin.
All right.
Scott asks, you know, like, was it on horses? And, you know, I gotta ask, do you joust on anything that isn't a horse?
That is a good point, O.
No, it's a good question. You have to,
nothing that I... Nothing I can really confess to without getting edited.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay. Oh, tonight's show is midget jousting.
That's right. Well, no, the reason I ask is because how do they insure people like that? I mean, is it something you just – I mean, I'm just trying to imagine the whole job and say, well, yeah, I'm a professional jouster, and I like regular medical, and I'm covered and all that.
We were covered through the fair. I mean, we got hurt. They paid for everything.
Oh, okay.
So that wasn't a.
Yeah, they all had prepaid graves.
Yeah.
Pre-dug. Yeah, no problem there.
Dug and ready to go. Well.
No, it's usually a couple of injuries a year. You know, nothing horrible, though.
Yeah.
Okay, Jousting Justin, here's another question for you.
Yes, obtuse obsidian.
Man, you're good.
Texas, shoot.
Yeah.
I'm betting you did kill people. Okay, did you fight for glory?
Oh yeah.
Of course he did.
Did damsels owe you favors?
There's always a little of that, you know. There's women that come to the fair every weekend just to have that kind of a fantasy thing, you know, to hold out a handkerchief, or you know, and then you wrap it on your arm and you joust with their colors on it. And there are women that live for that. I mean,
I know Mark likes that.
Well, you know what though, I'm guessing that you're like the rock star of the fair, because the guys on horses hitting each other with lances. I mean, that's
said.
Yeah, that's cool.
And people call us that because we got a lot of attention. You know, it's a high profile thing during the day. You know, I mean, it's unavoidable.
Did it become even more popular after that movie Knight's Tale came out?
I didn't really see that much of an increase in crowds.
Yeah.
You know, it was always still about the same. Man. It was a very popular fair, being that close to such a heavily populated area, so we always got a lot of people to watch.
Now, was it an actual competition, or was it fixed?
Oh, well, fixed is kind of a negative thing. I would choreograph the story of the joust, because there was a storyline throughout the day. It usually involved Robin Hood and the Queen.
Yeah.
And so I wrote both jousts, and they usually had something to do with the storyline. And as far as what happened in that show, you know, who fell when, how many passes left, right, who gets knocked off, that was all pre-written. And then you have to sell it as real the best you can.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's like wrestling.
Yeah, it's like All-Star Wrestling. I was going to say that.
Basically.
Well, absolutely.
Except way cooler, so...
That's absolutely like All-Star Wrestling. You try and make it look as real as you can.
Let me ask you...
They don't succeed much. Did you?
What?
The wrestlers, they don't succeed much in making it look real.
No, we were better at that, but also, I must say that they have the disadvantage of having a camera right on them. You know, we had we had thousands of people, but they were pretty far away out in the arena.
Yeah.
So we could get away with a lot of stuff.
Well, that sounds like a blast. It sounds like something I'd be terrified to do.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Now, contrary to popular belief, I do have an actual serious question here.
All right.
What kind of training do you go through for that?
Serious. I trained a lot of guys, and I trained one woman to joust, actually.
Cool.
Wow.
And she's still doing it, and she's terrific. And I think the thing that... I found in training people, most of them were successful and some never quite got it. It's the biggest thing is the fear of a horse. You know, if you have no fear of a horse, then you can move on and evolve your abilities on the horse. You know, like if the horse does something that you don't plan, some guys freak out.
Yeah.
You know, but if you feel like you can gain control of the horse's confidence back again without getting scared, then you probably got what it takes. You know, I mean, horses aren't going to do the same thing every time. You know, so if you don't have that fear and you're comfortable around horses, I can teach you anything.
Did you get to ride, like when you were doing it, did you have like a standard horse that was yours that you...
Yeah, I did.
You know?
The whole time I rode the same horse. There were times where, you know, he was sore and I had to substitute out, and that made it a little more difficult. But there is absolutely something to a synergy between rider and horse. That is something that it's really kind of beyond explanation, other than you can kind of feel what each other are going to do before they do it.
Well, Scott and Mark have that.
What was the horse's name? what was the name of the horse?
My horse's name was Oso.
Oso, very nice.
Yeah.
That's Oso. Yeah, that's cool. Now,
so that's Spanish for bear, for those of you in our listening audience who are not bilingual.
I'm not at all. Did you know that, Obsidian? Is that Spanish for bear? Can you confirm that for us?
Yes, it is, but it said, well, I mean, just say it like with a little bit more coolness. Like,
awesome. It's like you wouldn't want to say, hell no.
Yeah.
Not quite macho.
Not entirely.
So was
your jousting experience, did it provide inspiration for the comic work you're doing with Myth Tickle?
To a degree, I guess, because that's been such a big part of my life for about 10 years. It seemed like kind of a natural progression, but I've always had an affinity for knights and knight stories, King Arthur, things like that. That goes way back with me.
Yeah.
So that the love of that stuff is probably what made me try to seek out a job like that.
Yeah. Well, then, how long have you been? How long has Myth Tickle been going for you?
I started it last year, just a little over a year.
Okay. That's very. Yeah. It's
I was driving one day and went, I think I'll start a cartoon strip, and I want to do something with knights and a dragon.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what I was going to do or where I was going to go. I just started doing it, and then I heard about this thing, this comic Sherpa thing. I went, that'd be a great training ground for that.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to, figure it all out, who my characters are and stuff like that, and it's been a great vehicle for that.
Well, there's something I noticed about the comic was, and one of the things I like about it, this reminds me of the old days for me back before, long before I was doing Extra Life or any of these other, any of the other artwork I do. I used to do really traditional comic work, and I'd buy that Zip-A-Tone stuff where you have to cut out all your shadings, like all your different gray tones.
Oh, God, yeah. I did that, too.
Yeah, and you're...
Way back in the day.
And your stuff still has kind of that quality, and I like it. It's kind of like the black and white stuff, anyway. It's very much kind of in that vein, and lots of use of really good inks and stuff. And so after looking at a lot of your work, I come out of this thinking, this is a guy that really likes to ink. Am I off base?
Likes to eat?
Ink. I-N-K.
I'm sorry. It was fuzzy. I didn't quite hear.
Like pen and ink, you know what I'm saying? Like the black stuff.
Oh, like ink.
Yeah.
No, I hate ink. God. I hate it. It's redundant.
Good one, Scott. Good one.
Yeah.
But the shading and stuff, I just do that in Photoshop.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I don't do any kind of wash or anything like that. My originals are just on sheets of paper, and they're all disjointed and sloppy as hell. I clean everything up once it's scanned in.
I love the dude in the can.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's just a knight's helmet with feet.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I have a strip coming up at some point that explains what happened to him.
Oh, good.
How
man.
He got like that. I'm in the middle of this epic storyline right now, and I can't really do any gag strips. I have them all written, but I have to wait till next year.
And how often on the on Comic Sherpa? How often are we seeing new comics? How many times a week? Is this a 7-day a week thing?
I was going Monday through Friday for a long time, and then it just got to be too much. I just couldn't keep up with with the kids at home and trying to keep a home life going and. A 9-to-5 job. It was too much, and I can only do 3 a week right now.
Yeah.
That's why Scott keeps his kids in the cage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually,
except when he gets one out to eat him.
Plus, I mean, I see a lot of comics out there, and I'm really envious because they're very simple. And I think, man, if my strip looked like that, I could knock them off 5 a week, 6 a week.
Sure.
But yeah. mine get so damn complicated and everything has to be just right. It's frustrating, and right now, I just don't have the time to put into it.
Sure.
And I don't feel like I could change the style. It's this is what I want it to look like. So,
sure.
I don't know. I got to work something out there.
Yeah. No. I completely understand. I tried to go 5 days a week at one point. It just about put me in the grave. So I had to go back to 3.
You know what else? I really hated about that was because I felt like I was putting up some crap just to fill out this bizarre quota that I had imposed on myself.
Yeah.
And I was just putting up stuff, and I run out of ideas real fast, and so the easiest thing to do when you run out of ideas is come up with a new character, because then you can get 4 or 5 new
things, you know, for that to get through it. You know, and then I wound up, I'm like, looking at them, like, I had all these damn characters. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I have to simplify this.
Yeah.
So by doing three times a week, I disciplined myself, you know, saying, just keep it with the core characters. Don't put up anything that I don't feel, you know, I'm not happy with, you know. And, you know, once I get used to putting up what I want to put up and I understand my characters and I feel like I've created a core, then I can go on and try to push myself further. But for right now, it's just kind of about discovering all that. And I think I need to go slow to do that.
Yeah. Well, one last question about some of your background. It says here that you also, you've done some acting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I went to grad school at Rutgers in New Jersey and got my master's degree in acting. That would have been 87 to 90.
Yeah.
And after that, I hit the boards in New York. Did a lot of Shakespeare.
Cool.
I did a lot of stunt work because that paid.
Yeah.
The acting stuff never paid, but did that. I did a few things on soaps. Soap operas and One Life to Live, All My Children, things like that.
Oh, cool.
So, were you ever in Future Sport?
What's that?
Yes, because that's how we measure success here, Joustin.
What is that?
It's a movie. Let me tell him real quick. We have a habit here on the show for the last, I don't know, 25 or 30 shows where we have to mention the name of Dean Cain, the actor who played, Clark Kent. Anyway, he was in the film Future Sport, and for some reason, Obsidian, for the life of all of us, we're not quite exactly sure, but he absolutely loves that movie, and it always comes up. So Future Sport,
that would have been the future.
Yeah, but it would have been a good gig for you for stunt work, I'm sure. Because in the future, sport's pretty hardcore.
That would have been a real career starter.
Yeah, or ender is what I'm...
Sometimes a movie just hits you in a certain level and you can't explain why you like it.
There you go.
I totally understand
that. Is any of your stunt work that you've done, is any of that for films, feature films?
I did one film. It was a made-for-TV film. It was a TNT movie. I think it was called Thicker Than Blood. Mickey Rourke was in it.
Oh, wow.
They shot the scene I was in, they shot it in the Bronx. It's a really rough area of the Bronx. And it was a scene where these two... the kid is dying at the end, and he got shot in a park. And these two mounted policemen were coming at him. And the kid was like, had his affinity for knights, and he drew comics with knights in them. And in his delirium, the mounted policemen turned into knights charging at him. And when they dissolved, I was one of the knights that was riding. So I rode a horse that came through a park in the Bronx, and it was really bizarre.
That's awesome, man.
That's the only movie I did.
Yeah. I was in a stunt show for several years in New Jersey at Six Flags. That was a good paying gig. I was Batman at
That's awesome.
Okay, I got to tell you something freaky. You just said that. Hang on, I'm going to grab it. You said that you were Batman in that thing, and I was at that very moment looking at my two-disc deluxe edition of Batman Begins sitting on the floor over here.
Oh, shit, that's cool.
That's crazy. Sorry. That's just weird. Little side note.
Oh, Scott's creepy like that.
Yeah, I'm a little creepy like that.
That was a great movie, right?
Yeah, I love that movie. I thought it was great.
So, Justin, you're an actor, right?
Yeah.
I thought he already answered that.
Do you know Dean Cain?
I'm sorry to say I don't.
That's too bad. We could use a good inside lane on how to get him on the show, but
well, apparently, Idlewood in the forums, he posted that this Thursday on Celebrity Poker Showdown, Dean Strang is one of the celebrity players.
That's not fair, though, man.
You cannot have that guy playing poker because you can look right through your cards and tell what you have.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, we're going to take our first break. So hang in there, everyone. I'll be right back. Hey, everybody. We'll be right back. We're going to take a fast break and then come back, talk more to Justin, talk more about a few things that are going on this week. We even have a crappy movie of the week to talk about, which will be good fun, and a couple of your emails. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
We'll be back in a moment after these incredibly perfect segues.
Welcome to the Remixatorium, celebrating the best in video game music and remixes. dgremix.libsyn.com. Welcome back to the premier scatology podcast on the internet, Extra Life Radio. And for those of you with a third grade education, I'm looking at Scott, that means it's about poop.
Extra Life Radio.
And we are back. Welcome back to the show. We've been on the phone. We're doing this really wicked cool combination of Skype and regular phone and live people. This is a bit of a landmark for us. Time will tell. History will tell if it was worth it or not. But I can tell you that it's been worth it to have our guest, who is Justin Thompson. He is on the line from... You're in Phoenix, is that right?
No, I'm from Phoenix. Right now I'm in Northern California.
Oh, California, that's right. That's right. I got my notes mixed up. You're from Phoenix. My brother lives there. He loves it. Do you miss it there at all? You miss that hot desert?
I miss Phoenix so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I lived there all my life, I guess. I was born there in 62, and I left in 87 to go out east and go to school and be an actor and stuff.
Yeah.
What part of Phoenix did you live in?
I was in the north border of Phoenix then when I was growing up. We were the north border on Bell Road,
cool.
But now the north border has gone farther north.
Yeah.
Cool. Followed by the city.
I lived in Ahwatukee there during 2001.
Oh,
nice,
wow.
Loved it. Yeah,
that sounds like a fake place.
One of my best friends lives down there.
Really?
It does. Yeah. It doesn't sound real. What'd you call it, Brian?
Brian's making it
up. Ahwatukee.
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 A real place.
Wow,
that's a real place.
That's ironically enough. That's also the name of what they call 7-Elevens in Colombia.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. So tell me, Justin, have you ever been to Colombia?
Have I ever been to Colombia?
Yes.
University?
Not that any police records actually show.
Oh my gosh.
I've never been farther south than Mazatlan. That's the farthest south I've been.
And well, good on you for not going any further, because it gets uglier the more you go.
he's invited to Colombia.
Yeah, he could come anytime. Okay. Anytime.
We got horses there, you know. You might feel right at home.
Well, I understand.
Yep.
Get there and get some coffee.
That's right.
Stolen horses. But.
That's right. We got the stereotypes all figured out. I'm going to read a few emails. Everyone okay with that?
No.
Well, are you okay with that, Scott?
I'm good with it.
Are you good for reading emails?
I'm good for reading emails. And some of these are I'd like to get Justin's take on. Some of them are just downright retarded. But let's see what we can get.
Let's hear you try.
We've had some complaints that we don't have a lot of women listening to the show. And it's mostly been us complaining that we don't have enough women.
How would they know that?
Is this like a singles line? We're all complaining the girls aren't showing up.
Well,
where are the girls, man?
Yeah, it's not exactly the kind of show that women flock to, so none of this shocks me too much. But I did get one from someone named Sarah. This is great.
That can be a guy, you know.
She says she's a chick. How do I know? I guess I probably don't even know for sure. But it says, you represent all the hip cat male nerds. Where are the women? You had my gamer hero grandma hardcore on the other night, but where are the other gamer women? I know there has to be more out there. I know I'm not the only woman who plays D&D, Xbox, GameCube, and whatever else I can find free on the internet, as well as being a mom, wife, and let's see, a mom and a wife. I can't be the only one, can I? I don't know. Think she is?
No.
Apparently, yes.
How can you be a mom and have time to play video games?
Exactly.
She's not a very good mom.
That's
not nice.
No,
she's excellent. South of the border, all.
My wife could never play games and do what she does. I don't know how she does it, but I assume some people probably can. She says that she even registered for Now Obsidian. For the ninja.
Oh, that's awesome. But hey, wait, what's her name again?
Her name is, actually she goes by Zune, X-U-N-E, Zune. Yeah.
Wait a minute, I think because in Now people are supposed to send their pictures, I think she sends her picture and she's actually very cute.
Yeah, well there you go. She has a 7-year-old and...
That's definitely her. You will see her picture in Now when I get back from vacation, because
okay.
I'm on vacation.
Cool.
But, you know, just sort of make amends with that listener. I'll say that what she probably does is that she games with her daughter.
Yeah. Play with your kids.
That's a nice thing.
Now yeah. that he knows she's cute, he's trying to make up with her.
Anything he can.
Make up or make out.
Well, this is kind of cool, though. She said that she listened to the show for the first time while making her daughter's Halloween costume. I thought that was great.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. All right, we got one from Dobsky. He says, can't we make the show longer? I don't think an hour is enough.
Well, we're still.
This just sends me back to the first time I was on the show, that guy that said that he wanted a 20-hour show.
Yeah, I think we still got to work on that, because I think a 24-hour show not only would be really cool, it would probably kill all of us.
We should raise money.
I'll take that question. I'll take the answer. You see, what happens is... Scott is lazy.
Yeah, that's what it is. Dude, that's always your answer. No, the truth is we should have a 24-hour telethon, and the money will go to help anybody who's been nailed in the chest, jacked in the chest with a lamp.
Oh, I've been. That's happened to me. Can I get the money?
And by the way, when you got hit in the chest, did that put you out for a while, or how'd that all fall?
No, I would have thought that it would have hurt more or would have had more, but I didn't even get knocked off the horse. But I felt that impact, and I mean, I knew something was wrong. So I just dropped my shield and my lance, and I just rode to the other end. And in each pocket on each side, we have several people there to tend to us, you know, give us a lance or give us the proper lance, whichever one. And they had just had headsets that year. They'd added these little headsets so they could talk to the person to the other end of the field. And I was trying to tell them, like, something happened. I think I get hit in the chest. We're just going to do one more pass, and that'll be it.
Wow.
And it's because I wanted to finish the show. So we did one more pass, and boom, and then we were supposed to get both knocked off at that time. And the other guy, he went flying off, but I just kind of slid off because I didn't know what had happened. I thought, well, you know, if I broke a rib and it's jagged, I don't want to fall and make that puncture along. So I kind of...
And what
it looked like
happened?
A wimpy fall.
Yeah, where did you get checked out and everything?
No, I didn't go out or nothing, and it really didn't start killing me, hurting, until I was at the hospital and they were doing x-rays. And then the pain started coming. I think I was on some adrenaline high or something, and I didn't quite feel it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's always a bad sign when, you know, you're climbing off your horse and you cough and you blow out half of a rib bone or something.
And what actually happened, Jousting Justin?
What do you mean?
Did he just explain it?
Why did I get hit?
No.
Are you listening now?
Oh, no. He means... Yeah,
he's been talking for 3 minutes.
No.
He lived.
What? He lived. He survived.
What am I supposed to answer here?
No, you're... Yeah, which one of the 10 voices talking are the ones to answer? No, I think what he means is... Like, what came from it? Do you have any, like, long-term anything, or it's all good?
Oh, no. It didn't even crack... a rib or anything. It was just a severe bruise. Right in the center of my sternum. So that held.
Ouch.
But my God, I mean, the next three or four months, it hurt so bad.
That's hardcore.
Anytime I'd move or twist or anything.
That's hardcore.
See, I remember, it's ironic that you tell that story, because I remember Scott, he told us a story about how he pulled a muscle when he was reaching for the cornflakes box.
Dude, you're such a retard. I saw that coming. You
we're
know,
all
you
can heroes in our own.
Yeah, that's right. You can always tell when Andrew's brewing up a joke. He'll go, well, that reminds me of a time, blah, 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 blah.
Knock, knock.
Yeah, knock, knock. Who's freaking there? Okay, we got an email from Alex from Scotland. I'm not going to read it, but... Basically, it's nice to get more Scottish listeners, and he says he loves the podcast and how impressed he is, and he sent it to his friends. Thanks, Alex. Or if you're a girl, thank you as well. I don't know which one. I don't know if it's a girl or a guy.
Well, we want to think it's a girl.
Yeah, we'll think it's a girl. Speaking of future sport, Francis Nunziata said, sorry.
That is some name.
He says, hi there, poop fetish man. By the way, what is Future Sport about? Obsidian, could you tell us what the show is about? Give us a synopsis of the film.
It's about the future.
I've said this a ton of times. It is about the sport of the future.
Okay. Is that it? I mean, can we give them any...
No. It's about that in the future, the nations start to solve their problems through this game. I mean, they compete with this game, and that's how they solve their problems.
Did anyone see Rollerball?
I did.
That's exactly what I was just thinking.
It's basically a remake.
It's pretty much the same. No, actually, Rollerball came after Future Sport.
No, Rollerball came out in like 83 with Rollerball James Caan.
An old movie.
Yeah, Rollerball was.
Oh no, but Rollerball was a remake. But a Rollerball came after Future Sport.
They made a sequel to Rollerball called Ping Pong Ball.
Dude.
Oh, dude.
It had spikes in it. It was very cool.
Yeah. It's hardcore. That's my answer to everything lately. So what you want to do Francis, is go to imdb.com, look for Future Sport. You're bound to get a better plot synopsis than we've given you here.
Actually, go to Amazon and buy it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, buy it several times.
Yeah.
Oh, has purchased the rights to it, so that's why he's pimping it all the
time. No kidding. He's here to do a tour
as
for it.
As this podcast.
Yeah.
It will be 11.
Yeah. Okay, we got Dean Kane. Got an email from Dean Kane.
All right.
Well, awesome. actually
like the best cease, day of my life.
Cease and desist.
It's the lawyers for Dean Kane.
He actually says, "Hi there, Mr. Poop Fetish and the rest." He says, I'm actually his clone, not the real Dean Kane, clone number 83, if we're counting. So that was enough for me to read his email. But he says, I've heard in one of your previous shows that you couldn't remember when Dean Kane was first mentioned on the show by us. He said that would be show 24, our cheesy B-movie show. You guys remember that?
Yep.
Is that when Future Sport was first introduced to?
You know,
I don't know. I don't know if we talked about Future
really
Sport or not.
Really scares me is the fact that apparently at some point in time on the planet we start cloning Dean Kane.
Oh, heaven help us. Freddie Chambers also mentioned the same thing. We got an email from two people answering that burning question we gave last week in our fancy Halloween show that we did. Gregory Brooks says, I love the show, but you're losing control of your panel. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
There have been so many moments when a question is asked and I'm holding onto my headphones waiting for a response, but someone rudely pipes in, usually Obsidian, and and interrupts and rambles and goes on a tangent and never gets answered. This leaves me feeling like I've lost knowledge instead of gaining it.
Dude,
you weren't supposed to read
here?
My email.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Justin. Thank you.
Jousting Justin.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's all good.
I really want to know who's looking for knowledge by listening to this show.
Yeah, if you're looking for knowledge here, oh, dude, go the other way. Actually, you know what? Justin's probably brought the most knowledge that we've had in all 56 podcasts.
So, knowledge?
No, sure.
Hey, you just insulted all the other guests we've had.
Yeah. I mean, you know so much about jousting, you could probably... you know what? I'm doing Andrew. Never mind. I almost did an Andrew joke. I was almost going to say, you can help us get those eggs back that fall in the lava.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ended up saying it.
Oh, my God.
What is...
Oh, that was horrible.
Game again.
Yep. Okay, I got one more for us. This comes from Kathen. He went to attend one of these D&D things. Based on my comment that it'd be fun to record a bunch of D&D guys playing at their table. Well, he kind of got himself into some trouble.
Uh-oh.
He went to insult geeks and regrets his decision, he says.
But we're sure he didn't get his ass kicked.
got it handed to him. He says, I feel it's my duty to share this adventure with you, the panel, and the rest of the crew. I don't know what other crew there is he's thinking of.
Maybe, actually, he might be talking about that new pit crew we all just hired to take care of our cars.
Yeah, you and your southern freaking redneck NASCAR reference. No, what I was going to say is, I'm the crew, gosh dang it. Who's going to edit this show after this thing? It'll be me up till 11. I guess it's already 11 where you guys are. Anyway.
Scott, and we don't appreciate him.
I know. Actually, you do. I'm okay. I feel your warmth from Texas. Says Scott. Oh, here you go. You recently said on the podcast you went into a game store and there were people playing pen and paper RPGs in the back. After many attempts to locate such a place, I managed to find one in the back of Steve's Comic Relief, a local comic book store. The owner told me to come in at midday on Saturday, and to my satisfaction, throngs of geeks, sorry.
Nothing's throngs. More frightening than a geek
that's
in a thong.
That's a scary sight, geeks and thongs.
Throngs of geeks lay before me to ridicule. The question that I was asked, I asked them the following. Do you have real lives? They thought I was kidding. I decided to attack them more openly. Do you date? Again, this was shrugged off. It was not entertained. How do you mind Let's see. How do you mind if I have a social life? Oh, hey, do you mind if I have a social life? Is it cool if I sit here and watch you guys be losers? Hey,
oh, man.
Hey, I'm not a virgin, but I can still play some D&D. Or can I still? I can't even say it right. Have you ever talked to a woman before giving them your credit card number?
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
After, he says, after more insulting questions we couldn't put on the show, he says, the king nerd stood up to me. The moment I have waited for finally arrived. He told me to go out if I wasn't going to play. I told him to shower before he talked to me. He decided to call the police. I ran away fast. I cannot confirm if this is true or not.
That's the thing is, where's the recording? If that really happened, prove it.
Oh, it'd be gold, wouldn't it? Gold, yeah, Jerry, gold. But I'm guessing he doesn't have it. So anyway, that's your viewer mail. Let's do quickly a movie of the week. You guys ready for this?
Is it future sport?
Justin, this is a little segment we do where we showcase a really crappy B-movie for the week.
Okay. So, is it a new movie or is it going to be an old one?
It's old. It's older than you. Okay.
It's old like Scott.
It's old before you were born old. So wow. Here we go. This is from a this is from a movie called Me Being Slow. Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. 20 Million Miles to Earth. Anyone see it?
Never heard of it.
Okay, plot synopsis. Oh. The first spaceship to visit Venus crash lands in the sea, freeing a small native Venusian creature called the Ymir. It sounds like the guy working at my local 7-Eleven.
Oh.
Anyway, eventually...
Thank you, come again.
Eventually growing to... Yeah. Eventually growing to enormous size, it threatens the city of Rome. So, yeah. Whatever. I don't know how they got from Venus to Rome. But here it is. Listen to this clip right. Hold on. I got to cue it up. I'm a little off my gun. Okay, here it is, right here.
On Venus, we discovered quite by accident that these creatures are extremely susceptible to electric shock and that control voltage can paralyze them. Now, if we could have two helicopters and a squad of armed paratroopers, we might be able to drop an electrically charged wire net on the beast.
Okay. All right, that was a click. Now, you guys would have heard that better if someone hadn't dropped their class ring. What the crap was that? What was that? Brian, you all right? Or Andrew, who was that?
No, I'm fine. You know what's rather ironic is you can solve almost all problems with, you know, armed paratroopers.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, we're proving that right now over on Iraq, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. This is Ymir. This is the Ymir, or part of that same stupid show. Here we go. Clip number two.
The atmosphere on Venus is such that a human being cannot breathe and survive for long, even after using what we considered foolproof respiratory equipment.
Foolproof?
Foolproof respiratory equipment.
That's the 50s science teacher back again.
That's what? That's the way I want to travel. If I'm going to another planet, I really don't want to use the stuff that's defective to begin with.
Anyway, run out and see it. Looks like a real winner. This week, again, the film is 20 miles to the Earth.
20 miles
to the... That's pretty close
Venus is looking pretty close in the sky these nights.
Okay, William, it stars William Hopper as Colonel Robert Calder, Joan Taylor as Marissa Leonardo, Frank Pelugia as Dr. Leonardo, and it goes on. There's many top list A stars in that film.
We all know and love.
Yeah, you guys want to all check it out. Okay. Where are we? What else do we have to talk about?
Cabbage.
Holy crap, we got nothing.
Seven people all shut up at the same time.
No. What I did want to do was I wanted to talk about, just quickly, because I wanted to involve Justin in this conversation about the state of comics today. And I have a note to remind myself. And I thought you were just at the museum, but you're actually teaching kids how to draw. What is your take on... Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, the class is, you know, it's just a little thing. They come up there. There's a room at the in the top floor of the museum where kids can come in and draw pictures and stuff. And I just, when I teach there, it's only for about 25 minutes. And basically, I try to teach them how to express themselves through a face using their own emotions and face. Facial features and what happens if they have an emotion and how to draw that on a face. Just really
brief thing like that.
In other words, you're preparing a generation to lead us through the 23rd century. And I, for one,
may be so bold as to say
yes,
so, yes,
that's right. You're so humble about it. But
you're
what?
Basically evil,
what is your what is your take on the current state of syndication, of the way the comic business works these days, especially when it comes to comic strips and stuff? Do you have any thoughts or feelings about how all that works?
Well, I think that editors are too timid, and I think that they buy into. Well, I've noticed. Because I have a real good friend of mine who's a professional cartoonist. He tells me that, you know, people write letters and stuff to editors in newspapers. And a lot of these times, these editors will get one or two letters from somebody and think, oh, well, that represents a huge majority of people. We have to pull that, or we can't have that. You know, and they get scared. Meanwhile, the people who like something aren't going to write. And the majority of people probably love something, or would love to have something a little different.
Yeah.
But the people in charge, the suits, who are usually non-creative people, they're people who've gotten where they are because of their business acumen, are making judgment calls on creative work and trying to understand, you know, that avenue in which they fail. There are a few comics out there that are really great. They're a little edgy, and they're new, and there's a new breed of cartoons that are coming out now in the paper, and it's starting, but it's starting slow because only trickles are being allowed through. Mediocre things keep getting passed in.
That's my biggest problem with comics is because of the timidity and everything. You know, we look at with Breath Had Gone and with Watterson gone and Larson gone. And I mean, but now their comics are all coming back. They're all in repeats, and the repeats are better than the other stuff that's in the newspaper. It's like I always look around and I look for the new artists, the ones that are just as good. And there's some good ones out there, but it's even the repeats of these classics are 10 times better than anything the paper's putting out.
Well, everyone's afraid to take a chance.
That's really what I was saying. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when those comics came out, what a huge risk it was to pick up Bloom County. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
For in its day, that was a huge revolution.
Yeah.
Why did they take a chance on that? I don't know. Maybe it, you know, the risk thing wasn't quite as bad when weighed with how funny it was. I don't know. I'm not as familiar with the scripts.
Maybe the editor just really dug on it, and he's like, I'm putting this in no matter what.
Maybe he just trusted that there'd be people out there that would key into it, too. I don't think we have people like that in charge anymore.
No, well, the PC quotient has jumped up so high since the early 80s. It's nuts. You know, you put one foot wrong at all. And, you know, Jerry Seinfeld once said that if you're not bordering on offensive, it's not funny. And you don't have to be crass to make it funny or to ride that border. But Breath Had really rode that border with a lot of his satire. Yeah, but you're probably right. It's just there's too many people who are so worried about anybody being upset that they don't let anybody stretch their wings and try and really do something that's out there.
Well, that brings us to the next point. What do you think the web's role is in all this, Justin? Do you think that this is...
Well, I think the what is?
The web. Do you think that's the future of comics? Do you think the internet is
going
to change the way it works or no?
No, if anything, I think web comics are going to kill the comics in the paper. And then, you know, the comics in the paper, they're going to be losing more papers, or they'll be not picking them up or as much, and they're going to lose money, and then the people on the web comics never are going to make any money. You know, especially I'm looking at the comic Sherpa, and I've seen several people get picked up, or, you know, I put that in quotations, picked up, by these syndicates, but they really aren't. They're picked up so that they can do exactly the same thing on a web comic, but just a different web page. But it's still basically the same thing. They're not getting published in books. They're not getting published in the paper. They're just on a different web page. And somehow that's supposed to be prestigious, and they're supposed to be all thankful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And on one respect, I can see, you know, if that ever happened to me, I'd think, oh, that's cool. I guess it's a step in the right direction. But in another respect, I'm like, well, but it's really, I mean, I'm still on the web,
yeah,
and that's it.
Well, do you think the demise of newspapers in general, because subscriptions nationwide are dropping as people go to the web for their news, do you think that that alone will cause the decline of newspaper syndication and most things will be
pulled back? Well, I think the goal of every I think the goal of every cartoonist is to make a living cartooning. Yeah. If you're just doing stuff on the web, you're not going to be making any money on it, unless you can figure out some way to.
Yeah, it's spot. there's ways to capture niches. There's ways to get there's ways to peel out a living in certain ways. But even the top guys in web comics right now, if you could see their bank statements, you'd go, oh well, that's about what a English teacher makes. And that's between the two of them. If one's writing, one's drawing.
My wife's an English teacher. I know how bad.
Exactly. But that's the point. When I do my webcomic, I have no illusions that my comic itself will probably never make me much money. What I think will make me money is T-shirt tie-ins and doing stuff with other artists and coming up with cool promotions and car washes. Topless male to car washes. that kind of stuff. But I don't think there's any illusion by a lot of web artists and Brian Obsidian. I don't know if I can really speak for everybody here, but I don't think it's, there's no cash cow at the end of the rainbow on the internet. And I agree that it's probably because the papers aren't willing to step it up a notch and produce the kind of quality that people are getting online. Then there will start to be no place for just a panel artist to make it without supplementing in some other way.
We're on the things are changing. So there has to be a difference in thought from the cartoonist as far as marketing. I don't know if anybody's really figured it out yet, but it's going to require a completely different kind of, even out-of-the-box thinking of how to make yourself viable on the internet. I mean, I'm at a loss. I don't know anybody else who can really figure it out.
But
somebody will someday, and then we'll all go, damn, wish I'd thought of that.
It's true. I agree with that.
And then we'll hate them. But getting back to the fear of the editors, and stuff, I think a lot of that has to do with the political climate in this country. I've seen a lot of things as the 90s drew to a close, and then we come into this horrible decade we're in now, there's a whole climate of fear, and I think that people don't really realize that they have fear in every avenue of their day. Mm. Now, for whatever reason, you can, draw whatever reason. I have my own personal reasons why, and I think for sure everybody has some reason, but everyone's freaked out in this country.
The wonders of Skype. I love it.
I wonder if, it's not necessarily that there's more fear. I think we put too much emphasis on that vocal minority. Because I remember, there's always been upcries about different things, but usually it's kind of like, okay, some people are upset, but big deal. Now one person steps up and says, I don't like that, and we all, we're really sorry.
But why does that happen? It happens because people, maybe even deep down, are responding from a fear base.
That's probably true.
They're afraid to fail. They're afraid to take risks. They're afraid that they may make a mistake. They're even afraid that they might make somebody angry.
And it's anti-American, by
Who
gum.
Cares?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you want to see something rather funny is I got this sent to me today in an email. If you go into Google and you type in the word failure and you click on the button, I'm feeling lucky, it actually, the first thing it takes you to instantly, it takes you to the White House webpage.
Yeah, isn't that great? I think that's hilarious.
I love the, did you guys ever see the Global Thermonuclear War page?
Was it the down page, the 404?
Yeah, the 404 page. It was really well done. That was a
geek dream come true. Well, on that sobering and shocking and fearful note.
I don't mean to be so.
No.
That's probably the most serious the show has been.
I'm sure that I'd have a much rosier view if I were picked up.
Exactly. We all would.
I think the State of Commerce is great.
Yeah.
thanks for bringing the show down, Justin.
Perspective.
Justin will be phoning in his interview from his Escalade.
That's right.
Bite your tongue. Go with a Prius.
Because that's how he rolls. Well, hey, we're near the end of the show. We only got a few minutes left. I want to first and foremost thank Justin for being here. Thank you, Justin, for being part of the show.
Thank you. It's been a real hoot.
We've been it, dude. What the crap was that? I swear,
it wasn't me.
All right, I'm not blaming anyone.
Oh, wow.
But what I am going to say is this has been a bit of a different show for us. We are usually big retarded loudmouth the entire hour of the show. But I think today we got to actually talk about some interesting topics, some stuff that you know, is a little bit more I don't know, a little more intellectual than my constant fart jokes. And so but I think part of that is having you here. So again, thank you for being here. I think it's been really interesting, and I wish you all the luck with all your stuff.
I'd come back anytime you guys would have me. This was really fun.
Well, we'd love to do that.
That's awesome.
And we'll take you up on that offer, because we're always looking for good fifth chairs.
Yeah, because you can only take so much of Scott, like, screwing people's names up.
That's right. It happens constantly. I do want to mention his website. If you go to maddolphin.com, there's links to Myth Tickle there. There's also some other stuff going on. And I'll put a lot of this in the show notes so you can have direct links. But do go check out his work. It's great stuff. You'll love his comic strip. Highly recommended. We also want to thank Brian for being here. And let's mention, we haven't done this in a while, everybody else's comics. Brian has a comic on Comic Sherpa as well called Pork and Bean. Go check it out. He is moving to, three plus new strips a week now? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
That's awesome.
We're doing
great.
I did one Monday, and I'm doing one Wednesday and Friday.
Very exciting.
Check it out.
Yeah, very exciting. Obsidian is the fine creator and online publisher of commissionedcomic.com. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do so. And finally, mine is myextralife@gmail. No, I'm doing the email. It is myextralife.com. You can find Extra Life there 3 days a week, along with the news blog, this show, all information about it and its archives. Good times to be had by all. If you want to participate in the show, make sure you send us an email at myextralife@gmail.com. Guys, thanks for a great show. Everyone have a good night. Mark, you too.
See you. So I'm not one of the guys.
No, yeah, I always forget he's right here behind me.
Guys, have a good night. And Mark, too.
And Obsidian. And Obsidian and David. Thanks again, David, for letting us do this over there at your place.
He left.
Oh, my gosh. He was so bored he left. All this intellectual comic talk just put him right to sleep. Oh, well. What are you going to do? I guess that's it. We're going to roll out of here. Thank you, everybody, for being here. It's you that matters most. So thanks for subscribing. Tell your friends. Go to Podcast Alley and vote for us. It's a new month. Go to the podcast directory on Yahoo. Heck, go to iTunes. Go anywhere you feel like going and subscribe to the Extra Life Radio Show. We're happy to bring it to you. We'll see you next week. We have a cool thing lined up with the creator and writer of the Infendo blog, which is a big-time Nintendo news and information site that is very popular, gets a lot of traction around these parts, and we're excited to bring an interview with the creator of that. And we'll all be here for it next week. So have a good one. We'll see you guys next week. Have a safe week. And I can't say any other ways of seeing you next week, so I won't say it again. Have a good week. We'll see you then.
I don't see him on here, Brian.
What? Are there a list of names in the Skype app?
Yeah, there's a phone number first, okay. And then there's Alan Cell, All For You Facts, Carla Cell. Chuck.
And you don't see Justin? It's under the J's.
No, it goes, hey, you monkey, it goes straight from, it goes Greenwood, Realty, Home, Larry, Cell Phone, Mom. There is no J.
Well, I just added it. Oh, so I gotta give you his phone number, you can add it in.
Holy
what
crap.
You have to do is,
oh, while I was at it, Brian, I did call your mom and tell her that you don't call home enough, so.
Oh, man.
All right, you ready? Okay,
yeah.
Down at the bottom,
technical difficulties.
Search looking utility down at the bottom.